Let's just read the first few verses of Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, or worketh endurance. My desire is not to go really over the book of Romans or this chapter, but just a few things that prompted our attention. We just read the first thing here is that we've been justified by faith. The second thing in this verse to remind us is that we have peace with God. And the third thing is that we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I know this is not a gospel meeting, but gospel should not cease to be preached. How many of us do fully realize that we've been justified by faith? You know, sometimes we come to a conference like this, we look at everyone with smiley faces, and rightly so. And Carl, thank you for smiling at me as I say that. That helps, especially when one is nervous. But yet, sometimes we see someone that would perhaps say things that you go, is he for real? Are we saying things so that our brethren would think we live a godly life? I'm not questioning your motive, but just putting something to exercise your heart. But it is good to know. And more so, I think of our own children, our grandchildren, that do they know just how to answer our questions? You know, in Sunday school, I say this often, children love to put their hands up when a question is raised. Oh, wait a minute, I said that wrong. They put their hands up before the question is asked. Have you ever noticed that? They seem to know, because they know. And more often than not, whatever question you ask, they'll say the answer is Jesus. Isn't that true? And I think that's good, because Jesus should be the subject of our lives. Regardless of the questions we face or the difficulty we face, because here, it says we have been justified by faith. Yes, later on we read of justification by blood, but faith, I'd like to speak on that just a little bit. But before we go into that, I want to touch briefly into the peace first, and I'll come back to faith. Yesterday, and our brother spoke at a hymn saying, spoke of being the Good Friday, the death, the day the Lord Jesus yielded up his life for us. And that touched my heart. But then last night I thought, what about the resurrection that followed? Death and resurrection goes together, doesn't it? We preach the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's just turn to one passage briefly to have this thought. John chapter 20. John chapter 20, I was thinking, what did the Lord say to his own after his resurrection? John chapter 20, and verse 21. This is almost first thing he said to his own afterwards. Verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again. What did he say to them again? Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. He said, peace be to them. Isn't it precious to think we have a God of peace? We have the peace of God. You know, a brother prayed that, and rightly so, there are many perhaps a trouble with various kind of issues and disturbance and perhaps uneasiness in life can cope. And well, I trust that we have to go back and be reminded. Do you have the peace with God first? You know, sometimes this world have a worldly phrase, you got to make peace with God. Have you heard of that? How do you make peace with God? How can you make peace with God? You can't. But we have been justified by faith, so we have peace. God has offered us that peace. There is no work of my own that can earn peace with God. Not only can I not earn salvation, I cannot even earn peace with God. That's given to me. And with that, we have the hope. Can I be depressed if I have the blessed hope of being with the Lord before me? And I raise that question. If you feel you are down, and we're human, we often get influenced by many things around us. Sometimes even simple thing as the radio. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the wrong phrase now. Young people don't listen to radio anymore, right? The podcast, I guess that's what it is. Am I using the right phrase here? That something you hear over the air, and sometimes it's depressing news. And I know you as young people can point fingers too. You older one gets so obsessed with politics, and that brings you down too. Well, there are many things around us that can discourage our hearts, our thoughts. But to remember, we have a hope. First of all, this world is not my home. Because Scripture said, where your treasure is, there your heart may be also. I was just sharing with a brother about what if you heard news that there's a house on the street is on fire right now, but the news doesn't say which house. How would you feel? Do you just say, it's not my home here? Or do you rush out, try to call your friends to see which house is on fire? Phew, it's not my house. And what if it is? Where is your heart? Where your treasure is? But we have a hope, the steadfast hope. That's not here. I know it's easy to say this, but do we truly value that? That a home that's been prepared for us, and it's not even a physical place. It's the place where our Lord is. We have scriptures that comforts us, telling us about this place where I am, there ye may be also. So I don't want to take too much more time. Now I want to go back to faith just for a few more minutes. I want to leave time for others here. Let's just turn one more passage to Hebrews chapter 11. We often think of that as the faith chapter. What is faith? Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I read that on purpose because often, I don't know about you, when I think of faith, I think of Hebrews chapter 11, and sometimes we even label that as the faith chapter. But I trust that the Spirit gave me a different thought. I'd like to turn to the book of Timothy. I was very impressed that the book of Timothy speaks of faith repeatedly. And I'm not going to go into details, nor do I profess I understand all the details of it. But let me just break down the two books very briefly. I know many of us know that. The first book of Timothy is about when the church of God is in order. The second book It's not even viewed as the house of God. We see the phrase, the great house. When things are in disorder, and the instruction is to depart and name and away from those who do not name the name of Christ. But what's interesting is, while the house is in order, each chapter in 1 Timothy speaks of faith at least once, often twice. And when you go to the second book of Timothy, when it's in disorder, we find faith being used. But we notice here, when we read through that, you'll notice it's not just faith. There's something in association with faith. And I don't think I can express them, but rather just read it and I'll let you do the meditation. So let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'll begin verse 18 to get the connection, but the thought is in verse 19. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by that mightiest war, a good warfare. And I believe here that applies to many of us here, if not all. Now, then his encouragement to Timothy is this, holding faith. Is that something we need to do? Holding faith. And a good conscience, which, notice now, which some have put away concerning faith, have made a shipwreck. Please don't look at the person next to you, because it may not be that person. You know, it's a human nature, isn't it, when we see problem. We like to point the finger and say, I know who that is. I think it should speak to all of us. First of all, are you holding faith? Have you put it away? I will leave that with you to meditate. Chapter 2. So the apostle said in verse 7, he was ordained a preacher and an apostle. He said, I speak the truth of Christ and lie not. He's a teacher of the Gentiles, or for the Gentiles, in faith and verity, or in truth. So the apostle would say that he teaches, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, that he would teach the Gentiles or the nations. What a responsibility that we can emulate. Can we? Do we teach? Stand up for the truth? To teach in faith and truth? And at the latter part of this chapter, is that notwithstanding, oh, I'm sorry, I should qualify that first. The second part of the chapter speaks of the women's place. So, sisters, scriptures speak to you often too. And yes, there are godly principles written there, but it's not my thought there, because this is another place where it speaks of the sisters' place. But I'll mention it very briefly in Italian verse 13, your responsibility or your position is according to creation. And then in verse 14, that it speaks of a different reason why the women are not to speak. Now, we're going to jump to verse 15. Notwithstanding, she shall save in childbearing. We understand that. If they continue in faith. Now, it's interesting to see that word continue. You have to have it first to continue, don't you? Yes, dear sisters. Many here, you have the faith. You've been brought up, just like Timothy of old was brought up under the sound. As a child, he was brought up with scriptures. What an encouragement for you to continue with the faith, continue in faith, in love, and holiness with sobriety. Now remember, we're still speaking while the church is in order. Chapter 3. A little bit different now, verse 9. Holding. How do you hold Sometimes we say, hold fast. Again, you have to have it first. Otherwise, you can't hold on. You have the truth. You've been raised with this. Verse 9. Holding the mystery of faith in a good conscience. I think mystery in Scripture often doesn't mean something you can never understand. It's not like some of you may have a whole library of these mystery books. It's not that kind of mysteries. The mystery is something that is not quite known, but God has made it known for you. The mystery, and don't make that a mystery for yourself, the mystery of faith. Verse 13, it expounds on that a little bit. For they that have used the office, now this is speaking of a deacon, well, a deacon is as purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in faith. Do you show any boldness? You might say, well, that's for the deacons. Well, deacons really mean a servant. Are you a servant of the Lord? A deacon? Or act in time, in many times as a deaconess? Chapter 4. I got to be mindful of my time here. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the later time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of evil, and so on. The list go on. But I'm thinking more of this word here. You know, sometimes we'll get hung up with a verse with certain words, and we have to learn it and see what the Greek have to say and see what the Latin have to say, forgetting that sometimes it's good to see what the Spirit is trying to tell us in that verse. I think here we have to look at this word that caught my attention is depart from the faith. Can I speak to you? Have you departed from the faith which once was delivered to the saints? Verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words. What word? The words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Oh, there are the words of faith. Doctrine go along with the word too, doesn't it? Verse 11. We often use this for young people, as this was an exhortation for Timothy. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Young people. Older ones too. Because I'm not sure how young Timothy was by this juncture. I don't believe he was a teenager anymore. So I believe we can all take this verse to heart that let no man despise your youth. But how is your conversation? How is your walk? Is your walk walking as a believer in words? Your action, you know, sometimes we go, oh, I'm glad no one saw this. But we forget that most of our friends, our brethren know who we are and what we are like. You know, let me change. It's just so little. You know, if we say, well, I got some news that I need someone to spread it for me very quickly. And I'm sure you can think of two or three names. Well, if I tell these two or three people, the whole world will know about it. Or, no, I need to speak to someone in confidence that nothing goes out. Sometimes that's a harder name to come up with. But we have a reputation, whether you know it, like it or not. What you're like, you already know. No, but here, what are you known? How are you known as a believer? Many years ago, I remember a brother spoke, and he took a mirror out. And he said, this mirror was put inside a coffin. And there are people walk up to this coffin, and they said, you can look in there. And when you look inside, of course, who do you see? You see the mirror with you. And then he said, well, someone's going to come up, and they're going to say something about this person. And if it's you, you'll be lying there, and you'll say, no, wait a minute, that's not true. I didn't do that. Wait a minute, you can't say that. You're dead. And he said, well, there's something you can't do, because you're not dead yet. How you walk, how you treat your brethren today, what determined what will be said at the graveside or that coffin side. Oh, just be careful. So here, back to our verse here, in conversation, in love, in spirit, in faith. Chapter 4, verse 8. So it speaks of widows. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith. My thought was not as much as to the widow and her family, but the word here, that have you denied. Not just walked away, not just departed, but denied the faith. And it's worse than an infidel. Verse 12, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith, as if denying it wasn't bad enough. Now they cast it off. Now remember, this is during the time when the church was still in good standing. So that was chapter 5. Chapter 6, you mentioned it a couple of times again. Verse 10, I will skip the first part just to keep the thought there. Partway through is, they have erred from the faith. Denied, cast off, now erred from the faith. Verse 12, as he ends this epistle to Timothy, he said, first of all, I should say, let's go back to verse 11. Here's something he addressed to Timothy, and I believe we all should take it, knowing that it's for us too. But thou, O man of God, are you a man of God? Or a man of woman, a woman of God? Are you aspiring to be the man of God? What do we need to do? Flee these things and follow after. I won't read through the whole list. Just the first three: righteousness, godliness, faith. What's righteousness? I believe it's not just doing what's right, but rather the righteousness of God. How can God be righteous when he's a God who does not tolerate sin in his presence, but he let you, a sinner, to come into his presence? That's not righteousness. The solution was he gave his son. He died for you. You've been cleansed. We begin this by saying you've been justified. That's how God can be righteous. There's actually a hymn I'm thinking of. I'll just read a couple of verses. Hymn 67 in the appendix. I think this hymn writer expressed righteousness beautifully. The perfect righteousness of God is witness in the Savior's blood. 'Tis in the cross of Christ we trace his righteousness, yet wondrous grace. God could not pass the sinner by. His sin demands that he must die. But on the cross of Christ we see how God can save yet righteous be. So just a couple more minutes, please bear with me. Second epistle of Timothy. Now when we get to the church position where is the gray house, the testimony. Now, by the way, the church, the foundation of the Lord always stands sure, is the testimony that is not carried on properly. Chapter 1. So when you feel that you are in the day of ruins, just more so faith comes in. Chapter 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the faith, no, there's a word I miss here. And we don't use this word much. The unfeigned faith. Do you show that as an unfeigned, that pure, that no acting, that real faith? And I need to move faster. Verse 13. Hold fast. Before we had them holding. Now hold fast the form of sound doctrines, which thou hast heard of me in faith, love, which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, you young people, you know more scriptures than you think you do. Hold fast and continue to learn, not just anything. You know, today in this internet information age, you can find anything you want. You can Google the words. I don't need to tell you that. You know it better than I do. You can type in something and it come up. Right? For example, a brother spoke up Nicodemus. Well, what does it mean? Well, just type the word Nicodemus and Google that and it'll tell you. Right? The victory of people. Nico is from the word Nike. The victory sign. And the other word speaks of people. And I, not to correct you, brother, I just thought of a thought that we call people with that name today, we call them Victor. How many people with the name Victor, parents like that? So this age, often when you Google online what the truth should be, you get information, but not always sound doctrine. Know the source. Chapter 2, verse 18, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Don't give up what scripture have to say. The resurrection is real. The apostle Paul was commissioned to tell us a lot about the resurrection. Death and resurrection go together. We find the 3 days is a picture of that in scripture. We find that throughout the Old Testament, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eye and there he saw the place that God had told him afar off. He had to learn the 3 days. He had to learn the death and then the third day resurrection scene. And just a couple more places. Good thing 2 Timothy is rather short. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. Now, Jannes and Jambres, which stood Moses, so do these also resisted the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Oh, that gets scary, doesn't it? Men that have corrupt mind, reprobate concerning the faith. Verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Verse 15, and I believe this applies to almost every one of us. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Chapter 4, verse 7, the apostle can complete the chapter by saying this, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith.